Well, look, I'm actually excited, and I'm excited because not only she shared with you about what we're having happen with our middle and high school students, as well as, you know, obviously all of our age groups, but one of the cool things is we've announced that next weekend, on the 16th, we're going to have our Heart for the House offering. And the Heart for the House offering is really the opportunity for those of us that call Discover Church home. We call it our once-a-year sacrificial offering, where we're saying, we're asking everybody to pray about a way that you can give to make a kingdom impact. So listen, we know that when you give your tithes and your offerings, like on a weekly basis, that does so much more than keep the lights on. In fact, if you remember just a few weeks ago, I shared the fact that this year we've actually given back through church planning and pastors development, through missions work and community outreach and development right here in our own area. We've given almost $19,000. And it's probably more than that because that was last month's number, and it goes up every single month. So we've given that, and listen, that happens because of the generosity that occurs regularly. Well, listen, the Heart for the House offering is our where us as a body of Christ, where we're going to say, guess what? We're planting a seed for the future because we know we don't own this building. And how many of you know we're going to own a building one day, right? We know. We're speaking it, right? And we know that when that day comes, we want to make sure that we are ready with an action plan in place. So we said that our goal is to raise $150,000. And the great news of that is, guess what? We're already 60% there. So Heart for the House offering is us just helping us to get closer and closer and closer to that day where we're going to be able to do that. So come prepared next week with what that's going to speak to your heart and your mind as far as what God's maybe speaking to you about. And I encourage you also to make sure that you're sharing it with, if you got teenagers, if you got kids, guess what? They know about generosity because we talk about it. We talk about it in what we do because we are a generous church. So make sure you're taking the opportunities there. And it's going to be good. Well, listen, we are in week two here of a series that we are calling God Is. And we talked a little bit last week about this concept of, you know, when I say God is blank, what does that mean? And there's so many words that we could kind of fill in there, right? But here's the question I have for you today, and this is one that maybe some of you experienced this last night, is do you have anything that ever has kept you up at night? You ever have anything like that? Something that keeps you up at night? Something that you lay in bed, and it, when you're laying there, it just replays over and over and over in your mind. You know what I mean? And now maybe sometimes that's a very irrational thing. Maybe it's something, you know, weird and far out, you know, off the wall. But maybe it's something very real that you like, or in your daily life that you sit there and you're playing out and you want to relive and figure out what your decisions are. And it worries us, doesn't it? It keeps us awake a lot of times when that mind just kind of starts going and won't shut off. And listen, we've seen this. If you've got kids, your kids have a scary dream about something, or they see something they think is kind of a scary thing. And you know, isn't it amazing how a tree outside and the light becomes something totally different at nighttime, isn't it? It just totally transforms into something. And I will tell you this, too. Amy's pretty flighty. So if Amy, all you got to do, you just come up to her, like she full out, like loses it, right? We contend as people, right, to be fairly worried people, don't we? Worry is just one of those things that creeps in, I think, on all of us and causes us to just go off and to imagine. And isn't it funny how we never tend to imagine the best possible outcome, right? We go to the other end of it, don't we? And listen, if, you know, maybe for you it's something in your life, or maybe you're also worried about what's going on in the world and the war that's happening in Ukraine, or the unrest, or economic uncertainty, or maybe you have an aging parent that you're concerned about. You know, maybe it's the next doctor's appointment that you're like sitting there going, whoa, what are we going to do? Or how to keep your kids safe and your finances, or how we're going to provide for our family, and how are we going to pay next month's bills and college debt? God, are we ever going to get rid of the college debt? Like, can we please ever get there? And maybe it's finding a job or losing a job. And you know, if you weren't worried, you probably are now, aren't you? Aren't you glad you come to church? So I can give you your list of things for you to, all the things that we should be worrying about. But we recognize, right? We recognize that as individuals, worry is just such a serious part of our lives. And for me, if you'll allow me to, can I be a little bit transparent with you today? You gonna allow me to? Is that okay? Can we call this a judgment-free zone for just a second? Okay. Like, for me, one of my worries, and this is going to sound like a a really stupid one, but this is something that really does concern a lot of my mental capacity in my space, is I always am worried about how in the world am I going to get all the things done that I need to get done in the week. How do I, like, and not just like the typical to-do list stuff. I recognize that I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor. And out of all those things, guess what? I guess one of the things that I heard described, and I said this is me, that I have a chronic condition of people pleasing. I don't know any of you if you've ever had that condition before. But some of you are like, no, I don't even care. Yeah, I don't care what y'all think. But for some, we do, right? And so for me, it's this chronic condition of I don't want to disappoint anyone. I don't want to disappoint my wife. I don't want to disappoint my kids. I don't want to disappoint any of you. And so I tend to overschedule, overbook, overcomplicate my life in a way to do this. And so guess what that all ends up causing? More worry, more stress, more of everything else. And so really the interesting thing, and I'm not sure what pastor officially said this first, but I heard this and I thought it was so great. And if you're taking notes today, I want to encourage you to write this down, is that this is what we worry about. Is often reveals to us where we are actually trusting God the least. If that is not a convicting statement, I don't know what is. Like, what we often worry about actually is helping to reveal in our hearts, in your lives, in my lives, it's helping to reveal where we actually trust God the least. But of course, we know that Jesus had a very clear example of this. Jesus actually says in Matthew 6, 25 and 27, he says, listen, I'm telling you, don't worry about your life. He says, don't worry about it. And you can sit there and you can worry about all the things you're going to eat and drink and everything else. In verse 27, he says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Can we do it? And we all know the answer is what? No. If you didn't know, the answer is no, no. Like, worrying will not add a single moment to your life. In fact, it does the opposite. I love this quote by Corrie ten Boom, who says that worrying actually doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but what it does is it actually empties today of its strength. And I love that. And by the way, if you don't know who Corrie ten Boom is, she was a survivor during World War II and spent time in concentration camps and the whole nine yards. And I'm telling you, like, the testimony and story of her life is just incredible enough to say, but so often when we say God is blank, fill in the thing, fill in the blank. What is God to you? And there's so many words we can fit in there and so many ones that we're trying to figure. But today, I want to help, if we can, in just the few moments we have together this morning, to really try to help us get to a fundamental question that all of us have to wrestle with. The problem is sometimes we don't really actually know fully what the question is. We think that it's about worry or time or scheduling or management or just clearing our mind even. But it's actually a little bit simpler, but it's also a lot deeper than that. And so today we're actually going to start in Genesis chapter 3, if you got your Bibles. And in Genesis chapter 3, we know that at the beginning we see God creating Adam and Eve, and he creates this perfect garden for them, and he basically puts them out, and he says, listen, guys, you got pretty much free reign over everything here. There's only one thing I want you not to do. There's this one particular tree I don't want you to eat the fruit from. Because if you do, you're gonna die. Like, it's not good. Like, so listen, just trust me on this and don't do that. And so one of the things that we see in Genesis 3, verse 3, we see the serpent, of course, which is the form of the enemy. Satan comes in here. And what I think is interesting is the serpent poses a question. And so the question, some of us would describe this question as just simply doubting, but it's actually a little bit deeper. It's a little bit more than that. He says in Genesis 3:3, now the serpent was more cunning than any animal of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, listen, he asked this question. He says, has God really said that you should not eat from the tree in the garden? Did he really say that? And so for us, you might be thinking that, oh, this is just a question of should I or shouldn't I? But the question's deeper than that. See, the question actually goes back to speaking into their lives, this simple fundamental question that you and I have to wrestle with daily. Is God trustworthy? Is he trustworthy? Can we really trust him with our lives? Can we really actually know that when we say that he has a purpose and a plan for us, that we can actually say that we believe that? Or are we going to sit there and ponder late at night about all the horrible possible things, possible outcomes from every decision we've ever made, what it could equal? And it's interesting here to me, because ultimately we see that with Adam and Eve's case, right? We see Adam and Eve's case by verse 6 of that same chapter. We saw that the woman, that she saw the tree, and guess what? It looked good. So how, if it looks good, God, could God have been wrong about this tree? And it was delightful to the eyes, and the tree, it was so desirable to make one wise. And so then guess what happens here? She took some of the fruit, she ate it, and then she also gave some to her husband, and he ate it. And then we see ultimately the question is kind of was proven here, is do we really trust him? And like maybe like he's withholding something from our lives, and maybe he's got other things that he's just not letting us know about, because is he really as good as he said he was, or as he says he is? Did you know that you and I, this was crazy when I looked this up, did you know you and I make an estimated 35,000 decisions in a day? Did you know that? 35,000 decisions. Now, that decision could be what time to wake up in the morning. It could be whether to actually get out of bed. You know what I mean? Do I actually go to work? You know what I mean? That's a decision. You know, when I get up, am I gonna go for the donut, or am I going to go for something healthier? You know what I mean? For the healthier option. You have 35,000 decisions that you make each and every day. And really, so many of those questions that we answer, the decisions that we make, just are kind of second nature to us. They kind of instinctively kind of like let us go into something where we know we want to kind of head our day or head the direction of our lives in. But the real question that you and I have to make every single day that we wake up is, do we trust him? Do we trust him? Am I going to actually believe in this God that I can't see, that even though that how many of us are controlling and we want to control the outcomes of our own lives, right? That I'm actually going to release the control of my life over to him and actually trust him. I love this psalmist in Psalm 62. Psalm 62 verses 7 and 8 says that, guess what? My salvation and my honor, they actually depend on God. In other words, there's a trust factor here that he says. He says, he is my mighty rock and my refuge. In verse 8, what does he say he's going to do? He's going to do what? Trust in him at all times. And he says, and this is actually one of the things I love, is he's actually saying this to other people. Listen, hey, you all, listen, you need to trust in God at all times and pour your hearts out to him, because he is our refuge. And so I want to say that today, obviously as the pastor, I think that God is trustworthy. And I think that I'm going to try here really quickly with a few minutes that we have to kind of give a little bit of this sense in this case to you, so that maybe you can hold on to this, because I can promise you that if maybe you're not wrestling with this decision right at this very moment, that you will. That there's going to come a point in time in your life where you're going to have to answer this. And so I want to give you a couple reasons. If you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to do this. I encourage you to take notes, and I also want to kind of encourage you as we go to maybe even be considered writing down some of your own story as we go through this, so that you can remember some of these points. Because here's the first one we find, is we find that, guess what? God has been faithful before. Has anybody ever experienced God's faithfulness in the past? Okay, all three of you, that's good. Okay, a couple of you here are hanging with me, that you've actually experienced his faithfulness before. And one of the stories I love that really proves this point is in the Old Testament. We actually were talking about this past Wednesday night. We're going to continue this Wednesday about it. And this is where we see, and we're going to be looking at a couple of scriptures in Exodus and then later in Numbers. But here's what we find out. In Exodus, if you don't know, this is the story of God calling Moses out amongst his people. And Moses, if you know his story, it's crazy. It's a crazy roller coaster ride where my man is born a slave, becomes basically a prince. Because of the decisions he makes, he ends up having to kill somebody. He has to flee for this. And God ultimately uses this man who's a murderer to say, guess what, guys? God looks at Moses. He says, guess what, Moses? I know that you think that you've done something too bad that I can't use you, but there is no such thing, so I'm going to use you anyway. So what he does is he uses Moses to deliver the nation, the people of Israel, out of Egypt, who were slaves at the time. And now you probably remember this story. And one of the things that I love is that God has several times where he's speaking to Moses and through Moses, where he's trying to indicate that, guess what? He says, listen, Israel, we need to remember. Somebody say remember. Anybody got bad memories? Anybody got bad memory? Boy, I tell you what, I have a bad memory. I should keep a better like daily journal. I don't, because my memory is not always the greatest. But here's what he says in Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. And Moses said to the people, he said, what? Remember this day in which you departed from Egypt, because you were in the house of slavery. But by the powerful hand of the Lord, what did he do? He brought you out into this place. And so now this incredible thing happens where God actually delivers them and he hears their cry. And listen, if you don't remember the story, listen, Israel was in bondage. They were in slavery. And then when Moses comes in, it wasn't easy, because he had to speak to Pharaoh and he had to go through 10 plagues and God had to part a sea. And as he parted the sea, guess what? God miraculously stopped the most powerful military force on the planet at the time in its tracks. Like they weren't even a thing. And as they go through, he leads them into a wilderness where, listen, how many of you wish that you could have been in the wilderness? And listen, you say wilderness doesn't sound fun, Pastor Curtis. No, no, no. But here's the bonus. In the wilderness, they got a cloud by day and fire at night to follow, so they knew where God wanted them to go. And I'm like, Lord, can you just send some fire by night? Can you just tell me where to go, like which way to go? He literally did that for them. He laid it all out for them. Guess what? When they were thirsty, he gave them water. When they were hungry, guess what? He gave them food. And what Moses is trying to tell, what he wants to remind Israel is that, guess what? If he's done it before, he's going to do it again. And so some of us, we got to really hold on to that concept and that mindset that, guess what? If God's actually done this thing for us before, he can do it again. He'll do it again. And I know for you and I, you know, we have these moments in our lives, and this happens in Moses. It happens all throughout, especially in the Old Testament. We see where there's these moments, right, where it may seem weird, because if you've ever read Scripture and they pile rocks up, you're like, I guess they just had a slow day. I don't know. Why are they piling rocks up? This doesn't make any sense to me. You know? No, no, no. You know what they would do? And I think we might have a picture of this. They would pile rocks up. And these rocks would be monuments. And guess what this is? What is a monument for? If you go to D.C., we love a monument in D.C., don't we? We got monuments of all presidents and this and that and the other thing. We got, you go to any park or town here, we got monuments of people riding horses and the whole nine yards. You know, we love a monument. You know, what's a monument meant for? For us to remember. They put these stones out to remember. And Moses is saying that, guess what? We have to remember this. Whether it's an encounter that Jacob has with God, or whether it's Moses when he has the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, or whether it's the personal moments that you and I have. Like, for me, I remember when Amy and I were first married, we were in ministry, we made a little teeny tiny bit of money, okay? It was $200 a month, all right? Now, if you don't have to be real great with math, to know that $200 a month. Now, granted, gas wasn't $5 a gallon or not like that, okay? But it's still $200 a month. Don't go real far, because I'm not that old. Some of y'all think, like, I'm not old enough when bread was like a nickel and stuff like that, okay? I'm not that old. So you can remember that $200 don't go very far. And I remember that we saved for a couple years, and we were able to kind of help with people in our lives that helped us out to come together to build a house. The house that we still live in to this day. And I remember going to the which was Wilmington Trust at the time, in Georgetown here, to meet with Mr. Clay Rose. Some of you know Clay, because he worked for Wilmington Trust for a real long time. And I sat down with Clay for the finalization of the construction loan and the mortgage and all that stuff. And he figured out the price per square footage of the house. And he was like, this can't be right. And he ran it again. He's like, are you telling me that you're building this house for only this much? And he's like, I don't know who you know. He says, I don't know. This his words, okay? I'm not making this stuff up. He said, I don't know if I've ever done a mortgage on a house, a new construction house, for this low amount before. And I'm just like, I don't know what to tell you. And isn't it incredible? Because so you come out of that meeting, you're like, yeah, they're like, this is God. Like, I don't know what you're doing, but it's awesome, right? And then the next thing you know, guess what happens? I'm laid off from the full-time and part-time work that I had. I've signed a mortgage for a house that I can't afford anymore. I don't care how cheap it is. I still ain't got the money for it. And so you're sitting there going, God, what's going on? And you know, the incredible thing is he lined stuff up. And today to go back and to try to direct you and guide you along this process, I couldn't even do it because it doesn't make any sense. But I can tell you that we never missed a payment. I can tell you that, as you can see, that I never missed a meal, okay? You know what I mean? Like, I've gone through some things where, and at the same time, it doesn't make any sense on how this stuff happens. But guess what? God is faithful. He's faithful before, and guess what else he is? God is faithful today. See, because after these moments where Moses and the Israelites are coming through and God is trying to declare and tell them to remember what's going on, I love this, that there's some instruction that has to get happened. Because how many of you know it's easy? We always kind of remember the past in a fonder light, don't we, than sometimes it ever really happened. Like, we'll remember the past. Oh, when we were in high school, it was so great. And then we remember that now you have Netflix and all that stuff where you can stream everything. And back in the day, if you wanted to do something on the weekend, you had to drive your rear end to Blockbuster because that was the only place to find, unless you were going to go to the movie there, right? We think it was so great, and then it wasn't. Trust me, it wasn't, okay? Overpriced Blockbuster, $7.99 rentals for brand new stuff. It was off. It wasn't as good. But we have to remember that where we are today, that sometimes we need some help with that. Because in Numbers chapter 14, verse 9, here's what happens. We have to spell this out for everybody, because guess what? Israel, if you read their story through the Old Testament, they had some issues remembering. They had some issues like holding on to what God had told them to hold on to. And in Numbers chapter 14, verse 9, it says, listen, don't rebel against the Lord. And guess what? These people were going to go into this promised land, the land where God told them they were called to go. He says, listen, God says, listen, this land is your land. You're going to go there. But here's the problem, is they started to look around. They got afraid. And it says in this verse, it says, do not be afraid of the people in the land, because we are going to devour them. Their protection is gone. In other words, God has allowed us to come into the space because it says the Lord is with us and do not be afraid. And guess what the issue was? Is they couldn't see the promise of God because all they saw were the problems that they currently were walking in. They currently were walking in a spot where they had these problems that they could not see through it. They said that there was giants in the land. Now, I've seen some real tall people, but I ain't never come into a land where there's like actual giants, okay? But I can imagine that it's easy to think that, God, yes, we're with us, and then you get there and you go, whoo, God, are you sure? Them some real big people over there. I kind of think this is what God was talking about. Like, if you ever gone like to Greenwood, I love Greenwood. I went to a Christian school. We played Greenwood Mennonite, and the Mennonite people, those are hardy people. Those are people that, and I'm just like, they are just like ready, and I'm just like, Lord, are you sure we can beat them? I don't think we can beat them. I'm looking, this kid's three times the size of me, and he's 2 years younger than me. But guess what? God would say that, guess what? You can do it. You can do it. The incredible news is, guess what? He said that he gave us Jesus. Jesus says that he's Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. He's with you and he's with me. And he actually says in Matthew 28:20, he says, behold, I am with you even until the end of the age. That's it. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. So guess what? If today or this week or this month or this year, maybe you feel like in your present situation that you're having trouble trusting in God, well, listen, I want to let you know that God is trustworthy today. He's not trustworthy today because of the absence of the problems that you have. Because guess what? You're going to have problems. I'm going to have problems. But he's trustworthy today because of his presence. Because of his presence in your life, that's how this all thing comes together and works out. I remember when one of my kids, I'm not going to tell you which one, because I don't want him to get embarrassed, because I didn't tell him if I was going to get into details of the story. But I had one of my children had issues sleeping at night. And you know, one of the things that we would have to do, we did this for, this was a bad parenting hack, okay? I can tell you all the things not to do as a parent, okay? This is, don't do this. But for a long time, they couldn't fall asleep without somebody holding their hand. Now, it sounds sweet, but it's really annoying. But how about, you ever had that happen? Whether maybe you had, when you were a kid, or even if you had kids and your kids couldn't fall asleep and they wanted to climb in bed with you and they wanted to sleep with you, or they wanted you to go in there and they wanted you to tuck them in, and they wanted you, because guess what they wanted? They wanted to know what? They wanted to know that you were there. They wanted to know that your presence was there. Because why? Because in your presence, there's safety. There's security. There's assurances. And so that's what God is saying. But God's saying, guess what? I helped you in the past. You can trust me today as well. I'm trustworthy in the past. I'm trustworthy today. And guess what he also is? He's trustworthy for tomorrow. God will be faithful, not just in yesterday, not just today, but he is faithful in tomorrow as well. Israel gets to the promised land, and as what had happened is, guess what? They get there, and do they have faith insecurity issues? Do they not trust God all the way? Absolutely. And so they tend to forget that Numbers 13:1, Moses, the Lord said to Moses that he's going to send some men out to explore the land of Canaan. And he says, which I'm already going to give you. It's already yours. This is, have you ever thought about, you make a decision and you say, oh, well, that's future me's problem, right? You ever done that? Oh, well, I could do that now, or I could not. That'll be future me's problem. Well, listen, they decide to send the spies out, and each tribe sent one out. And as they go out, guess what they come back with? The story they come back, they say, I don't think we can do it. I don't see how tomorrow we can take this. I don't see how in our future that we can land where God wants us to land at, because he's saying that, wow, look at all this stuff ahead. How can I possibly, you know, see my life go where I want it to go tomorrow when I can't make it through today? How can I make it through today to see that I'm actually going to fulfill all this stuff that God has laid on my heart and where I'm supposed to go? And how am I ever going to get there? What I love is in Scripture we see that at the very beginning, God tries to prove that he is trustworthy. And guess what he does at the very end of Scripture? He says it again, Revelations 21, verse 3. It says that I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, that God's dwelling place is now among his people, that he's going to dwell with them, that this is going to be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And I love this because it says that he's going to wipe every tear from their eyes. There's going to be no more death. There's no mourning, no more crying, no more pain. Old things are passed away. But listen to what it says in verse 5. In verse 5 it says, he who is seated on the throne says, I'm making everything new. And then guess what he says? He says, write this down. Because you know why you can write this down? Because my words are trustworthy and my words are true. Listen, I want to share with you a little story, and we're gonna wrap up here. But I want to share with you a little bit of a video, and this video is powerful to me because this is so fresh in the mind of someone in our church that's walked through something. You're going to hear from Frank Honus, who Frank, many weekends you see him leading on stage through worship. You've heard him speak and preach before. And Frank, he's lived a life where he's really put the fact that he trusts God up there. But recently, and he's going to share this in this video, he's experienced a few things in his life that have made him question, that have shook him a little bit. And I wanted to share this with you today.
Tracy and I were actually leading our first small group for at Discover, and our parents' night out small group, had an incredible small group together with a bunch of people, and had a lot of fun laughing, and just actually we were talking about the topic of hope in our first small group, which is kind of ironic. And I remember towards the end of the small group, I got a phone call, saw that my dad had called me, and so kind of dismissed the call and tried to get back to him in a few minutes. We were kind of at the end of our small group, and so I remember when we were kind of concluding, Tracy had gotten a phone call from my dad as well, And I looked at my phone and I got a text message from some friends, and basically it said, you know, I'm sorry to hear about what happened to your mom. And if there's anything we can do, you know, we're praying for you guys. And so I was really on alert at that point. I ran out to the front porch and remember calling my dad back. And it's a phone call that I'll never forget, ever. It's literally burned into my memory, I think. First words my dad said, I remember him answering the phone. There's a long pause, and I remember him saying, Frank, your mother's gone. She's with Jesus now. And it's like time stopped. My world stopped. And I couldn't even formulate words. And there must have been at least 30 seconds or a minute that went by where it was just silence. And so I began asking questions to my dad and, you know, what happened. And he began to give me details of, you know, the fact that she had taken her own life and, you know, the nature of that and what had actually happened. And I just remember in that moment just the impossibility of what had happened. How could this happen? There's no way this could have happened. Not to my mom. She would never make a decision like that. And so for the last 2 or 3 weeks, our worlds had just been turned upside down. And I feel like every single day has been just this mixture of deep, deep wells of pain, of sorrow. You know, I just remember feeling so angry, just angry. And I feel like through this process, I haven't been necessarily angry at mom. I haven't feel like I've necessarily been angry with Jesus, but I've just been angry. I've just been angry. I've just hurt deep. And every day's been different. And, you know, through this process for me, I've had to remember that his nature has never changed. And who Jesus was to me before this incredibly painful, devastating, you know, thing that happened, he still is to me. Just as he was my comfort, he still is my comfort, and he always will be my comfort and my peace. And, you know, if anything has come up in my mind, I feel like I've become an investigator, and at times I've really had to fight the investigation, you know, if you will. Like, I've had to fight trying to find the answers, trying to find, piece together the clues and figure out what happened. And realize that even in the midst of that, whether it's losing a family member, whether it's losing a job, some kind of sickness, whatever is, you know, pain has entered your life, answers don't bring peace. But what brings peace is his presence. And I've just had to remember that from my own life, that no, you know, no clue, trying to figure out what was going on in her mind or her heart, even knowing that, will not bring me peace. I feel like one of the things that I've had to be reminded of, and I've had other people remind me of, Tracy's reminded me of this, is holding on to gratitude, holding on to thankfulness, remembering the person that my mom was here on this earth, remembering who her what her true identity really was, right? And being thankful, being grateful that this life was with us, this person was with us for so long, that there were so many vacations, there were so many memories, there were so many holidays, so many fun trips, and just having a sense of gratitude. I think when we lose our sense of gratitude and we lose the ability to be thankful, I think that's when the circumstances of life can consume us, worry, anxiety, and fear, and we lose this perspective of who God really is when we forget that when we lose that perspective of gratitude and we can't be thankful. In Matthew 6, verse 26 to 27, actually says this: consider the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they? So which of you, by worrying, could add anything to your life? And so the idea of trusting God for me, literally in the last 2 or 3 weeks, has been a moment-by-moment process. People say you got to take it a day at a time. For me, it's literally been a moment, one moment at a time, getting to the next moment, getting to the next minute, the next hour, and realizing that He is good. It's not been easy. It's been incredibly, incredibly difficult to sort of trust the Lord through this process, but I know that He's still good and He's still faithful.
So what do you do when you get the phone call? What do you do when the thing that you've worried, that, you know, if you worry, actually comes true? Or the thing that you could have never imagined, the thing that you could have never put together actually does? Isaiah 46:4 says, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and guess what? I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I'm actually going to rescue you. Jesus actually had the opportunity to speak into the lives of people around Him, and He says, listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. Listen, if you believe in God, I need you to believe in Me, that I am here with you every single step of the way. So the question that you and I have to ask ourselves every single day, do we trust Him? Do we really trust Him? Would you stand with me this morning as we're going to close? I know some of us in this room, you've probably experienced some things in your past that not many people know about, if anybody at all. There are these hurts that we tend to carry with us. And there are these things that help to shape us into who we are. They allow us to build up walls. They allow us to keep from having good, real relationships with other people. And they keep us from having a true relationship with God. Because, like Frank said, sometimes you get angry. You don't really know who to blame or what to do. And so many times I think it's so easy for us. Sometimes we turn and we don't know who else to blame, so we blame God. God says, listen, I'm right there with you every single step of the way. It might not be the outcome that you're looking for at this moment, but guess what? I'm still here. I'm your refuge for you to run into. And so that I just want to invite everyone into this place, if you would, just to close your eyes. I'm just going to ask a simple question. If you're in this room and maybe you've had moments in your life, maybe it's right now where you feel like you've had some issues trusting God, I want you to know that you're not alone, but I want to also know that we're here to pray with you and just to encourage you. And I just would love, if you would, just to slip your hands up today, if that's you. If you've had some questions, maybe you've had some issues where trust has just been a serious thing for you. You're just not sure because of some things maybe you've walked through, you've seen other people walk through. I see those hands all over the place, and I want to let you know that you are not alone. I don't stand up here in front of you today as a person who's figured it all out, but I've walked through some of those very same roads, some of the very same questions that you have asked. And today, listen, I want to pray that the Spirit of God floods this room and He floods your heart. Because here's the fact of the matter, just like Frank shared, that he's shared with me in other times, it's like, you know, there's all the things that we wish we had answers to, but even if we did, it's not going to fill that hole. It's not going to solve the problem. So today, Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for those people that have lifted their hands up today. Lord God, that are saying that they're confessing today before You and before all of us, Father God, that guess what, Lord, we've had some trust issues. That we've been hurt, that we've walk through some things, and we've had questions, and sometimes, Lord God, we don't feel like we get the answers we want. But Lord, today I just ask that your spirit would be with these individuals today, Father God. That, Lord, that there's no words that I can say, there's no words that anyone in this room can say, but Lord, that they can experience that peace that comes from hearing your voice. That they can know that just like we covered last week, Father God, that your mercies are new every single day. And that you love us so very much, Father God, that you decided to put it all on the line for us. And Father God, even this morning as we've gathered, Father, that there are a group of believers that have stood in this place, Father God, to say, Lord, we don't have it all figured out and worked out together, but Lord, help us. Lord God, it says in Scripture that there's somebody that came before and he said, help me with my unbelief. Lord, if there's anyone today that's in this place that maybe because of that doubt has not been willing to accept a relationship with you, Lord God, I just pray that today can be that step in that direction, Father, as they even seen through water baptism today, Father God, that Lord, you can make all things new in us, Lord God, and that you've called us to walk in your love and your mercy and your grace. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name.